I think it's important that we allow the review process to unfold a bit before we have too much speculation about failures and the like. I think that starting with Secretary Napolitano, there has been an acknowledgement that this individual should not have been aboard that aircraft with the device or the components for the device that he had. How that happened, I think, will be one of many things that are subject to the president's review of security procedures that include watch listing processes, the nomination process, how folks advance from simply a watch list to the no-fly list, for example. I think there will be some investigation into the visa that had been issued, I believe, in June of 2008, and why that was not revoked at the time that some of the additional information became known about the person. You know, there are reports that his father made phone calls. So I think there will be a number of things that that folks will want to take a look at, and I think it's important that we get a little bit more data from each of those, construction of timelines and the like, before we start to point fingers at perhaps what went wrong.
And what would you say about the amount of discretion that is or should be allowed for agents that are confronting people as they enter security lines or enter airports? Because now it looks like everybody's going to be more carefully screened, every single human being that comes through. But what about the idea of just stopping people because an agent has a funny feeling or they may know something that doesn't put them on the terrorist watch list?
Well, Tom, you know, there's always value in the gut instinct, but what I would suggest, at least in this country and with TSA, is that the gut instinct has actually been quantified a step or two further with some fairly rigorous training. As you know, TSA has deployed in the past few years individuals with specialized training in behavioral detection. And what the science suggests is that if an individual has, as this particular gentleman is alleged to have done, impregnated their undergarments with large amounts of explosives, they tend to demonstrate certain characteristics that suggest they are nervous, that they are perhaps concerned about being identified, and so forth. And what I would say is that discretion at the checkpoint is a very important part of what the TSA security professionals do, but it is discretion that is also grounded in both science, rigorous training, and protocols. I think it's hugely important. I think when we deal with an enemy that is as crafty as Al-Qaeda is, they're constantly probing, they're constantly looking for things to be rote. To the degree that they can identify exactly how we do things and they are done exactly the same way every single time, it becomes much easier to design both devices and techniques that can deceive that type of an approach. So the use of discretion and the use of instinct, I think, is very, very important. By the same token, not allowing that to become, if you will, willy-nilly or arbitrary and without any reason at all.
Would you say at this point, Dr. Waters, that our vulnerability lies in foreign travelers, people that are coming over from other countries into the United States? Or do you think that we still have vulnerability in our own airports with our own screeners?
Well, I think whether or not we want to deem it a vulnerability or whether we want to deem it an opportunity is a bit semantic, perhaps. But clearly, we have evidence that folks coming from abroad is a vector of attack that has been tried unsuccessfully now twice. If we consider the Richard Reid case in 2001, also fairly close to Christmas Day, I might add.
Weren't there a couple of incidents that in London where they thwarted them before they actually took place?
Well, in August of 2006, there was a pre-flight disruption of a fairly large plot involving liquid explosives that would be mixed in flight. And this is a plot that was literally disrupted overnight, and the TSA moved just in the wee hours of the morning to implement new standards. This is the 3-1-1 rule, if you will, the 3 ounces of liquid in one bag, that was a direct response to that. But what I think you see both with TSA as well as with international security organizations that do screening in other countries is that this is a dynamic and a fluid environment, that they are constantly looking at the flow of information, the intelligence about certain threat vectors, and seeking to use layers of security to mitigate against those risks.
We're talking with Dr. J. Bennett Waters. He's Director and Chief Operating Officer of the Chertoff Group. So again, as you mentioned early in the interview, that the review process has not completed yet. But looking at this incident, is your hunch that the answer will be found in the technology, just putting in more and better and capable machinery, or better management of the whole watch list process from, you know, really the seeding of those lists going out into the intelligence community, or some combination?
Well, Tom, I think it's a combination. And I think what we'll see in the immediate aftermath, as we are seeing right now, is an increased use of existing capabilities. So folks can expect to see more of the explosive detecting canines at checkpoints, though they will not necessarily see more behavioral detection officers. I suspect that TSA will have those folks surged to their complete capacity in the days ahead. I think we'll continue to see the seemingly random application of gate screening and other types of measures. Again, it's random by design. It's designed to keep the bad guys off balance and without knowing what we're going to do. What I think you'll also see longer term is a redoubling of effort on the TSA checkpoint evolution process. Evolution is the so-called checkpoint of the future that begun in earnest in early 2008 with principally three components. There's a people component, there's a process component, and there's a technology component. The people component is focused equally on the TSA security officers themselves, ensuring that they have the most up-to-date training, that they are tested regularly, that they have access to relevant information about threat vectors and so forth, and are focusing on the bad people. The second half of the people component is on the passengers, and Tom, this gets to your point about the watch lists and so forth. It's critically important that we know that people are who they say they are when they present at a checkpoint, and that's why the TSA officers will check your driver's license against the name on your boarding pass and so forth. Equally important is that the right people be on the watch list. And as you know, in the past couple of years, there's been a very healthy dialogue about the number of people that are on those lists, because this really comes down to a balance between privacy, individual liberties, and securities. The more people that are on the list, the more likely there will be a mistake, the so-called Cat Stevens problem, if you will, or the mm-hmm. Ted Kennedy problem. And so we're seeking to find exactly the people that we're looking for, but not unnecessarily inconvenience the innocent business traveler from the Midwest, if you will. The second piece is process, and that is that there is a very intelligent use of information to drive the processes and the procedures that start when a person arrives at the checkpoint and how they move through all phases of the screening, and that we do so in ways that minimizes the delay without sacrificing the accuracy or the efficacy of the screening process itself. And third, and I think this is probably most important, and Tom, you touched on it, it is the intelligent use of technology. We do have the capacity, in response to Richard Reed, in response to the August of 06 plots, there were considerable investments made in technologies that would allow us to see non-metallic objects that had been secreted on a person's physical body, whether it was in the undergarments, taped along the legs, in areas that are generally not padded down quite as thoroughly or what have you. So the use of whole-body imagers, the use of standoff explosive detection, I think is something that we will see more of. I hope the politicians and some of the privacy groups, while necessarily engaged in the debate around how much and where the balance and the trade-offs are in privacy and security, will recognize the real value of these technologies and these capabilities.
Well, Dr. Waters, we thank you so much for joining us today to talk about this. It's a very important topic, and we appreciate your analysis this morning.